Welcome, divine beings, to the Awave Goddess podcast. It's such an honor to have you here with me in this moment of time. If you are a first-time listener, welcome. Welcome to the family. And if you are a returning listener, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to these offerings. It's such an honor for me to be a part of your reality. Thank you also for the immense support with regards to the previous episode I posted about integrity. I was actually shocked to find out how many of you guys actually appreciate longer episodes. So I'll definitely make it a point not to place a time limit on my offerings from this point onwards. And I'm actually trying something new, something different, as you can hear. I've stripped away the music, and I'm curious to know if you guys actually prefer it this way or if you'd like the music to come back. I'm going to leave a poll underneath in the description box. So if you're listening on Spotify, please do take the time to answer and let me know if it's yes to the music or if it's no to the music. And then I'll just gauge what the general consensus is and then move on from there. So yeah, today we are touching on manifestation culture and all the messages about it that my guides have been sprinkling my way for months now. And to sort of set the tone for today's installment, I'd like to share a few words with you guys. I actually posted this on my social media last year, but it's words that I believe will always remain relevant and true. So let me find that real quick. Okay. Faith is about walking in the path of what's been ordained for you, even when you don't have an image of the destination. It's not about being able to pursue any and every destination while in fear and affirming that God will see it through. May we correct having confidence in our self-direction and then blaming God, saying our faith wasn't rewarded when things don't go our way. Let's correct expecting God to co-sign what was never part of the plan to begin with. Let us rather ask for clarity on what to have faith in. There's more to the saying, faith moves mountains, than it revealing the power of having belief. Walking in faith means agreeing to the path we're called to take. Therefore, obstacles we face on that path are destined to move because the obstacles aren't our final destination. They just play a role in making sure we become the right version of ourselves meant to meet our destiny. Faith moves mountains because reality will always submit to us in the face of us being obedient to spirit. Blockages and obstacles we encounter on the path we are called to take only respond to the sound of obedience, because when we are obedient, we end up in places we have spiritual authority over. There is no authority in misaligned places, so having faith in these cases won't be the key that works for you. Getting back to the path of alignment by being obedient to spirit is the key that you're looking for. And I think that might be something that you'll need to play back and listen to again so that it lands within you the way I intended. But essentially, living in faith or being a faithful person means that you're living in the awareness of your guaranteed victory and success because you have received clarity about the truth of your life. It's very hard to live in faith when you don't know your truth, when you don't have insight from spirit about where you're going and the nature of your work. Faith is about having a mentality of confidence, but in the things that spirit has revealed to you about yourself and your life. And something that my angels have been expressing to me for a long time is that the world has manifestation work wrong. A lot of people do not know where their positions of victory lie in spirit. And so it's so easy for them to live in a state of defeat or believing that the season of life that they're in is all that your life is going to amount to. And so they turn to manifestation work from that place within themselves of feeling defeated, of feeling helpless, of feeling desperate, just wanting to have a reality that feels different to where they are currently. A lot of people do not approach manifestation work in faith because they have not yet acquired truth about themselves and their journeys. Because if you knew the truth about where your ancestors, your angels, and your spirit team would be assisting you to reach in your life, you would approach the season that you're in where everything feels stagnant and helpless with a lot less fear. You know, there might still be doubt because we are human, and sometimes when things get shaky, we think to ourselves, like, will I really make it out of this? But there won't be this full-blown fear because at the back of your head, you'll still remember and hold on to the promises upon your life that no one can take from you. So my questions leading into this episode are, do you know what those promises about your life are for you, or are you just aimlessly shooting into the void and hoping that something sticks because the universe is supposed to respond to you and you somehow believe that we all have the same promises tied to our names? Do you have clarity on the season of life that you're in? Or do you just jump to manifesting yourself out of what feels uncomfortable, not understanding how much of a disservice that is to you on a soul level, even though it might make your physical self content? Does your manifestation work take into account your soul's journey, or does your manifestation work only revolve around things that serve your matrix self? Is your manifestation work fueled by spiritual insights about who God knows you to be and the things surrounding that identity that will make you feel truly fulfilled? Or is it fueled by influences in the world that tell you what you need and should have in your life for you to feel fully accomplished? Do you do manifestation work from soul urges or from ego desires? And can you actually tell the difference? This is what we're going to be getting into. And this is a topic that has been tugging at my heart for some time, just due to the fact that there are some inconsistencies and falsehoods surrounding manifestation and the beliefs people have about it. I've also just been in meditation about manifestation in relation to fate and destiny and the term co-creator. So basically, are we able to manifest what's not fated? And if it's already fated, does the role of co-creator even exist? And then in this sort of rabbit hole of thoughts I had to include the concept of free will and also weigh it against fate and destiny and whether free will can allow us to manifest outside of our destiny. So needless to say, God and myself have been having some real chats, and I've been asking for wisdom about this, because I do believe a lot of people are trapped in the illusion of what their free will can do for them and are really just trapped working from a place of their spiritualized egos. And I want to make clear, actually, that the aim of this episode isn't to make you guys feel helpless and at the mercy of life because we live in the scripted reality. It is important for us to do the work and not just kick our feet up and say that, you know, if it's meant to be mine, it'll find me. You know, it's important that we claim and call things towards ourselves, that we call things forward. The aim of this episode is to actually inspire people to put God at the center of their spirituality and manifestation work. Because, you know, in the midst of the rise of New Age spirituality, people leaving religion, people trying to figure out their spiritual paths independent of dogma, and people realizing that they are individualized sparks of God having a human experience, it's like the Most High Creator has sort of like been cut out of the picture. There are what I like to say, a lot of spiritualists that are living atheist lives, just due to the fact that they have immense self-belief and not enough submission or reverence towards this the divine. And that's largely due to the misconception of what makes you a spiritual person, actually. That what makes you a spiritual person is how much spiritual information you're able to recite, or how many books on spirituality you've read, or how many out-of-body experiences you've had while on psychedelics, or how many crystals you have, you know, your ability to read the tarot, your ability to understand astrology, etc., etc., and like, all of these things are really just superficial and they don't make you a spiritual person. Your union and your connection to God does. Basically, knowing who your God is what makes you a spiritual person. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to make a whole separate episode dedicated to the falsehood surrounding spirituality, because that's an important chat to have as well. Because I'm really just remembering how one of my closest good friends, Julieta, she once said something along the lines of leaving religion behind doesn't free you from your duties to God. And that's never been truer. I believe so many people have had such a traumatic or unpleasant or misaligned relationship with Christian God or Muslim God or Jewish God or whatever their religious background was, that when they get into a spiritual path, it's hard for them to integrate God into the foundation of their journeys and their practices. So much so that there's often this distaste to even say the word God, and the word itself has been replaced with source, you know, the universe, my higher self, which is all fine. You know, I myself even use these terms from time to time, but the underlying reason for using those terms shouldn't be an attempt to separate God from yourself, to avoid an association or relation to God because the word or concept of that is triggering to you. A lot of people will call themselves co-creators of their reality while literally having no relationship with the creator at all. And I'm wondering how that collaboration actually works, because pulling cards from your tarot deck isn't having a relationship with the creator. Being able to divine isn't having a relationship with the creator. That's just you drawing from your natural intuition, which actually would be stronger if you involved God in your practices. And just like any relationship, it's all about intimacy and spending time with that person. Some spiritualists treat God like that one friend they tell everyone they know because it makes them look good to have that connection. You know, it makes them look good to say that they know that person. But when it comes to actually spending time with that person and making that person feel seen or valued, they only do that when they need a favor. Some spiritualists put such a huge emphasis on their ancestors as well that they believe that they don't need God at all. And that partly ties into many things. You know, it ties into the fact that a lot of people believe that being anti-colonial means rejecting God, because to them, God belongs to Christianity. And if they are to be returning to the ways of their ancestors, then God has no place in that. But our ancestors revered the Creator above all else, long before colonization. And if your ancestors aren't pressing upon you to have that connection to that source, it's really worth reflecting on the spirits that you might be working with. But getting back to what I want to share today, to really unpack everything, I think it's best for us to start at the beginning, which is the concept of soul contracts. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically the belief that we came onto this planet with a blueprint of our lives that we agreed to and chose, who our parents are, who we will be when we grow up, our race, when we will have our first kiss, who our best friends will be, what kind of experiences we'll live to have. All of that is already agreed upon before our incarnation. And if you want to get a better understanding of this concept, I actually recommend that you watch the movie Soul. I believe it's Disney Pixar. It's a beautifully coded animation, and it explains how we come to be who we are as human beings and where we sort of come from as souls. So this concept of soul contracts, what I find people not talking about enough with it is that even though you might have picked certain experiences, they only came to pass once you've incarnated because they were approved on by a higher power, being God. That's really who the final say lies with. And the approval by God happens because there are certain laws, there are certain rules that are in place, like ma'at. So in case no one ever told you, this is not your first time here. You have lived before, and each life has left an imprint on your soul. Each life has added to the vibrational quality of your soul. And what I mean by that is that having lived a life of integrity where you lived up to your callings ends up making your soul higher vibrational. And with this, it's important to keep in mind that some people are created to be bringers of chaos because their chaos adds balance to our reality and allows for peace to be learned or mastered. There are certain chaotic people with high vibrational souls just because they're living in alignment with their dharma. So our understanding of what good or bad is often tied to our human morals, which are often very limited in perception when it comes to all of creation. But I'm digressing. Each life basically adds color to your soul, and the life that you incarnate into takes that into account. Think of it as going through school and having a report card at the end of the year. In this case, the quality of your soul becomes your report card once you die. And after you die, your marks are looked at to gauge whether you have mastered the study material of the year or not. And think of this report card being your grade 12 results, right? I don't know what it's called in other parts of the world, but in South Africa, we'd say that it's the end of your matric year. And your matric results are relatively important when it comes to universities finally approving you for a course, or you knowing which doors and opportunities are available to you after high school. And so the end of a life is like the end of matric, and you have this report card that reflects how you did in your life, which lessons you mastered or avoided, how much of your purposes you lived up to, and the karma that you cleared, etc. And all of this becomes a part of your soul's energy. And when you're preparing to come into a new life, that's like the process of applying to certain universities. You know, just as you can't apply for med school without having passed or done physics in high school, there are certain experiences that you can't get approved for in a new life if your soul's energy shows that you're not yet compatible with that thing. And I'm saying that you're not yet compatible with that experience because the whole point of life, of existence, is to ascend and to evolve. So you will get there eventually. You know, we're all destined to arrive at the same point, but when we arrive there is different from person, from soul to soul. And what I really want to make clear is that we don't all have access to the same things. We don't all have access to the same experiences once we incarnate. The timeline opportunities available to us are always karmic in nature, having to do with our soul's karma in combination with the karma of the bloodline that we're born into. And we are part of the bloodlines that we're in because the story of the lineage we're in matches the soul imprints that we carry. So you chose your parents because they matched you on a soul level in some way. your physical family, even if they are not your soul family, are still compatible with your soul's overall energy and karma, be it good or bad. That's why not just any soul can be born through any timeline. I mean, bloodline. There are rules around that as well. I often laugh at memes that people make and post about soul contracts, particularly about our parents. Like when people see a child or a person that was born into wealth and they say things like, "Where was I when we got to pick rich parents?" And I just giggle because we're so used to observing life with our physical eyes and not necessarily our spiritual ones. And just as much as not just any soul can be born into any bloodline, not just any soul can be born into any race either, because each race has its own karma, its own energetic imprint, and its own oversoul. And compatibility on a soul level needs to exist before you can be born into a race. But that's a whole other conversation with different nuances. I'm digressing again. But the point I'm trying to make is that life is not random. There are systems in place to bring order to everything. So going back to what I was saying before, just like in real life, you have the free will to choose medicine, you know, going to med school, and you have the free will to apply for it without any knowledge of science or anatomy, but you getting into the program depends on the head of that faculty. In the same way, we can choose what we want our new incarnations to look like and be like, but it going that way depends on God's approval. And just like in the schooling system where there are boards responsible for making decisions, there is a board involved in finalizing what your soul contract will be. And in that board is you, the ancestors that claim working with you in your new life, your different guardians, and God as well. So from the beginning, you are working with a team on establishing your path. And the New Age perspective of soul contracts sort of perpetuates this hyper-independence that's unnatural, which also promotes a spiritual path of isolation where people believe, I chose to be here. I chose my life. I run the show, so I don't need anything other than my will because I am God. And the truth is, we have always and are always working in community because our actions impact the collective. And I'm not God, so I can't list everything that our souls are weighed against in order for us to be fully compatible with a life blueprint. And it might even look different from soul to soul, you know, who knows? But like I mentioned before, karma is a major factor. And manifestation culture has deluded so many people into thinking that they can always bypass karma, but it does catch up to you eventually. My boyfriend, he often asks me this question, you know, he asks me, is it possible to miss your destiny? And I always tell him no, because we all eventually have to balance our scales. That's really what destiny allows us to do. And it might take time before we do that, multiple lifetimes even, because who says that reaching that destiny is meant to be limited to one life, your current incarnation, especially when we take into account that time is an illusion and spirit, God too, exists outside of time. What you don't get to accomplish as your current self, you will get the opportunity to fulfill in another time, in a different form. And that's not to promote that we now become complacent in following through with our life's callings, but to remind you that you don't have to limit the completion of the masterpiece that is you to just 80 years of life when you have a timeless soul. You have time. And just like if you fail a grade, you get the chance to repeat it. And you taking longer to pass the grade doesn't take away from the fact that you were destined to advance from it from the beginning. And when you get to reach that point of destiny, when you reach that point of destiny is so dependent on how you use your free will. But I'll touch on that in a bit when I explain the differences between the path of counterfeits and the path of alignment. So, yeah, the principle of Ma'at is all about justice, not fairness, justice, meaning that we all get what we deserve, which might not always be what we want, but it'll always be what we need and what the collective needs for there to be balance. And karma isn't just bad, you know, there is good karma as well. And I often wonder if people ever stop to think about the good karma their manifestation work would end up separating them from if the divine was the type to just let any and every intention come to pass. You know, for example, you can be in a season of your life where you are stuck in one place. It could be your hometown, or it could just be an area that you're tired of and you're just ready to leave it behind. And so you begin manifesting a move for yourself, calling out to the universe that you want to be in a new place, unbeknownst to you that you have good karma tied to the place that you're in. You know, that place could be where you meet people that end up being part of your community. That place could be where you come across financial opportunities. Or that place could just be good for you on an energetic level because the air is clean, the people are friendly, and you have nature all around you. You know, these are all signs of good karma. So you are in that environment. You might be in that environment because it's the perfect stepping stone for crucial events in your life. And the delay in progress that you perceive is just a matter of it taking time for these connections to come together. But it's all still good karma. At the end of the day, things might still work out beautifully for you in the place that you're in. I believe that so much manifestation work is often done from a place of impatience or frustration, and not so much from a place of gratitude for the present moment. Manifestation has become a go-to method for changing what is, wanting to cast away what we no longer want, without first consulting with our guides about what the season of our lives is about and what it's there for. So much manifestation is often driven by ignorance and short-sightedness, which can be resolved by getting clarity from those that were in the board meeting when our soul contract was made. If your manifestation work is all about getting away from something, avoidance and bypassing, not wanting to face reality and focusing on a future where life is completely different, understand that what you should be doing is processing how trapped and helpless you believe yourself to be. If you work from a place of faith, as I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, you won't feel trapped, because faith is about you being informed about the truth of who you are. You know the saying that the truth shall set you free? The truth sets you free from the illusion of the season of life that you're in being all that there is for you. If your manifestation work is all about having a different life from a place of resisting, hating, and being frustrated with where you are right now, understand that your heart chakra is most likely blocked. And if your heart chakra is blocked while you're trying to manifest, understand that your intentions aren't rooted in love or abundance. The key to maintaining an open heart in situations that we're ready to move past is acceptance. And accepting where we are isn't synonymous with settling for where we are. Acceptance is an exhale that lets God know that we've learned to breathe in the environment, in the conditions that we're in. Acceptance is an exhale that signals us being ready for a different type of air. Are you breathing or are you holding your breath, waiting for your surroundings to change before you can breathe? And if so, then where you are might just be the perfect place for you to be, because the state of your heart cannot be dependent on external factors. If we are to learn and master and embody unconditional love, we must learn to breathe with open hearts wherever we find ourselves. Acceptance is an exhale that allows our ancestors to carry us through the season we're in without us being or getting subconsciously lost in survival, believing that we need to fend a way out of it by ourselves. Acceptance is the first step to change because it allows us to have a broader field of vision than resistance does. Resistance always has us viewing life through a pigeonhole, because resistance leaves us focusing on the issue at hand to the point where we do not see the possibilities that come with the issue. We become so hyper-fixated on the problem, how we don't want the problem, how the problem is affecting us, how the problem is blocking us, how the problem is stopping us from this and that, how much we hate the problem, that the problem ends up becoming the center of our emotional, our spiritual, and mental experience. But acceptance allows us to finally decenter the problem, to take it off of that pedestal, and to relate to it as a passing experience. You know, as a visitor instead of a permanent rentee that we need to kick out. If you can manifest from this mindset, from a place of acceptance, it'll also help you have less expectations on what your answered prayers should look like. If you manifest from resistance, you'll have more fixed expectations on how your future timeline should look like, because all you'll care about is getting the problem out of the way. But if you accept the problem and manifest less, you allow yourself to finally receive guidance from spirit on how to use the issue to your advantage as a stepping stone to something glorious. If you manifest from acceptance, you'll be granted the perspective that God has about your situation, which isn't one where you're being held back, where you're stuck, and where you're blocked. You know, those are the beliefs that come with manifesting from a place of resistance. Having a mindset of acceptance when manifesting looks like, because I'm dealing with this problem, I'll be able to do XYZ and be this ABC type of person. But manifesting from a place of resistance sounds like I need this issue to go so that I can finally do XYZ. Or once this problem is gone, I will have ABC. So do you see the difference in how one lets you experience more options while the other is limiting in nature? If you can accept, you will be shown how to navigate where you are in wisdom, and you will continue to see how free you still are, whereas resistance will have you seeing yourself as being held back, being held down by the problems at hand. Now, moving on to the next part, manifesting from a place of ignorance of your life can go so many ways. One, because God loves us and understands that our vision is often short-sighted, you know, our manifestations result in nothing because what we want for ourselves is not part of the plan. The second way that it can play out is that our manifestation work places us, allows us to enter timelines of counterfeit experiences that have always been available to us, to sort of teach us the value of waiting for the real deal promises that are attached to our names. It might even be experiences that teach us to handle those real deal promises with care. And some people don't have as many timelines of counterfeit experiences available to them because they need to get straight from point A to point B with less detours, either because the work they need to do at point B is pressing or because their souls don't need that training that comes with dealing with counterfeits. So they're just protected from the jump by having their intentions shut down. So even our prayers not getting answered serves us at the end of the day in some way. Some souls, though, need the training and opportunity to mature in understanding, in the understanding of divine will versus the ego's will. They can afford more detours because the detours will serve them in the end. So they have timelines available to them where they can choose to have experiences of deceit and being led astray. Not everyone needs counterfeit experiences to grow, though. It depends on the qualities of the soul that is at hand. And by counterfeit experiences, I mean experiencing the opposite of what God and your ancestors actually intend for you to gain and have. So this is where free will comes in. Free will allows us to choose to enter the timelines of what's been promised to us versus the timelines of what is out of alignment with us. And because nothing can block us from what we're destined to have, there's so much gratitude that we need to extend to divine strategy for making sure that the timelines of counterfeit experiences always eventually reroute back into timelines of alignment, even if it takes us, you know, lifetimes to get there. You can get lost in the cycles and patterns of your false self, but our souls are just set up in such a way that we always get called back home. We always end up with a wake-up call to turn back. We always end up feeling and internally knowing when we're out of place. And the free will comes in again to either listen to those internal nudges and to return to ourselves, or to ignore those signals and to continue living in an illusion of success. But even free will in itself can get overridden when we've been running and avoiding ourselves for so long, for lifetimes sometimes. And that's what it looks like for most healers that find themselves with callings that they need to accept, or else, you know, tragedy and misery awaits them. There are certain karmic contracts that free will has no authority in, because the work connected to those contracts is just that important. And not just for ourselves, but for past and future generations. And these are the type of contracts that we can't manifest ourselves out of. I want to share something else that I posted on my social media a while back. We need to realize that free will doesn't just exist to serve our ego's desires. It exists to facilitate spirit too. Free will isn't just about being able to rebel. It's also about being able to choose to surrender. Free will isn't meant to be the opposite of obedience. It's a gateway to obedience and the rewards that come with it. Freedom of will is so useful that we should introspect on ourselves if all that we're using it for is to maintain resistance to spirit. If all your manifestation work revolves around what's not part of your soul blueprint, your solar plexus energy, which is where the will resides, doesn't charge a single thing because the timeline reality you are directing your will to doesn't match what's accessible and available to you. So it takes yin and yang to create, right? And our free will is yang energy. Timelines that are available to us are yin energy because all they are really are spaces for potential experiences. And spaces are yin principles or feminine principles because Think of the womb, you know, it's a space for a baby to grow. Think of the planets, you know, Mother Nature, it's a space for us to live and exist. So when our will combines with what is part of God's plan for us, it's the same as sperm literally reaching an egg, allowing a baby to form. And that baby is a timeline or a timeline reality. But so many people are just putting yang energy out there and wondering why there is no baby to show for it, but they haven't taken the time to discover what the yin they should be aiming for is. But when you use your solar plexus energy to manifest from a place of understanding yourself and the birthrights you have, your will charges up those timelines that you know are available to you, which ends up bringing them closer to you. And then this is what allows them to materialize. So to answer my own question of, is manifestation real? It 100% is. But the success of manifestation depends on whether you're honoring yourself, honoring your birthrights, and honoring your karmic predisposition. And to just wrap up my final thoughts on free will basically means that we have the right to make our lives difficult for ourselves, just as much as we have the right to have an easy experience on this planet through surrendering and moving with the flow of spirit. Free will isn't about us having all the power in the universe to dictate how our lives play out. Free will is about us having all the power in the universe to choose how we experience the way our lives play out. And the former is really the level of thought that's being promoted by New Age spirituality, which has people lost in the illusion of control, trapped within a spiritualized ego, and really practicing a godless spirituality. You know, the real ones know that religion and spirituality have obedience as a necessary prerequisite. At some point, whether you like this thought or not, obeying what spirit is telling you is what leads you to your destiny. And using your free will to do that is the wisest thing you can do. And another tough pill to swallow is that it doesn't matter how hard you work or how much effort you put into something. If it's not in alignment with God's plan and the other plans you are connected to in other people's lives, it won't work. You know, you'll just be pouring your solar plexus energy into a void or into a timeline of counterfeit experiences that might look like a little sumsum at first until the gold flakes really start peeling off. You know, divine order is very real. Divine timing is very real. And manifestation culture has so many believing that they can bypass these things. And the thing about divine timing is that it allows there to be this succession of events that allows our answered prayers to be blessings in the lives of those that we have karmic contracts with. You know, and manifestation culture has really made people somewhat self-centered within that work to the point where it's like, I just want my blessings to arrive. I want my prayers answered. I want my things to arrive now. I want things to happen for me immediately. You know, not taking into account the fact that there are these intersections where your destiny crosses paths with someone else's destiny in such a way that it ends up looking like luck to that other person or to other people. You know, divine timing allows us to continuously serve one another and be of service to each other in a way that we help each other build, help each other grow, help each other take our ideas and thoughts and concepts to another level. But most people don't care to take that into account, that the timing of the arrival of your blessings is connected to a moment in time when someone else or other people are ready to be blessed through you or by you. And the inverse of that is true. You know, there are people called, literally meant, karmically meant to help you, that are currently going through a period in their lives where they're going through the trenches, they're figuring themselves out, they're really trying to get themselves together in some way in order to be the right person you need once you finally cross paths with them. And you're there manifesting, calling out to the universe that, universe, I want this opportunity to arrive tomorrow. Not understanding that that opportunity is tied to that person that's doing self-work. And you're not stopping to think of the fact that you putting pressure on that opportunity's arrival is you also stripping that person of a period of grace. You know, you might be putting pressure on a person's season of healing to end. And this is sort of the things that self-centered manifestation work blinds people to, that you do not want certain things to land on your doorstep through people that are not yet who we need them to be for us. So really, divine timing being something that we can't bypass is truly beautiful, something that we should be grateful for. I once read this beautiful tweet by Maryam Hasna, I hope I said her name correctly, where she said that, are you using manifestation to awaken or just to create more distractions so you can feel a little more comfortable in your best matrix life? And yes, exactly that. It's not lost on me that for many people, trying extra hard to manifest and creating a new reality can be a trauma response or a result of feeling powerless and wanting to gain a sense of control or being in survival and not caring about the necessary alignment that they should be in as long as life gets better. You know, those things are not lost on me. And one thing my guides made clear to me is that when people manifest from a place of being out of integrity with themselves or not knowing what their birthrights are, they welcome illusions and consent to experiences of deceit. Let me say that again. When you manifest from a place of non-integrity and an unawareness of your birthrights, you welcome illusions and consent to experiences of deceit. And if you don't know what your birthrights are, if you don't understand the season of life you're in and what it demands of you, what it will lead you into, and the purpose of your current experiences, end off your prayers or manifestation sessions by asking that only God's will be done. That's a solution that my angels shared with me that I'm now sharing with you guys. You know, saying that, saying, God, let your will be done, is so protective and is so aligning because it shows that you are not welcoming in anything your intentions might be calling in that might end up deterring you from the timeline of alignment. God, let your will be done is the type of saying that also shows spiritual maturity because you'll be saying it with an understanding of the fact that there's so many wills that are at play when it comes to how your life turns out. There's God's will, there is your ego's will, but there are also hidden wills too, which are most times opportunistic in nature, most times hoping for you to stay within the timeline of counterfeit experiences. These hidden wills can come from people that are jealous of you, people sending you evil eye, people competing with you, even entities that just want to siphon energy from you. And you don't want your manifestation work to end up playing into what these people and entities or spirits potentially want your life to be like. So really say, God, let thy will alone be done, even if it means saving me from myself by blocking the intentions I'm setting right now, if you see that they play into the hands of those that are against me. because sometimes our intentions are made before we have knowledge and insight. Sometimes we speak things over our lives impulsively. Sometimes the wounded, traumatized part of ourselves sets our intentions for us, which ends up in us selling ourselves short. Sometimes our intentions are even made from a place of being influenced by external factors. You know, it can be something you saw on Instagram, on Twitter, on social media, wherever, that boom, it becomes the aim of your life. No checking in with your spirit, no checking in with your guides. So always sign off with God, let thy will be done. Because some people are literally hoping that you get distracted by external influences enough to chase after a life that's not meant for you, so that you don't access the timeline with the real work you should be doing that would bring you a lot more success, peace, happiness, and fulfillment. And that's why I find it so dangerous and spiritually unhygienic almost to buy into what most New Age followers spread about manifestation, that the law of attraction demands that the universe responds to your every desire if your will is strong enough, if you will it strong enough, that you have the right to everything you want because free will says so. You know, it's that line of thought that really leaves people open to never experiencing the type of success that adds to the quality of their soul. It's a line of thought that somehow convinces people to disregard what their spiritual success looks like, what success for their soul looks like, and focus on physical, financial, or relationship forms of success being a measure of spiritual alignment instead. And I really do not recommend that you get misled in that way. So, in closing, it's important that we do our part, that we send that yang energy out there, that we show up, that we do the work, that we have intentions and we meditate on them, but not for the sole purpose of taking God out of the equation and relying on ourselves. You know, we should do all of those things in partnership with the divine, showing up because we understand that this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that God has made, and not a day that I have made, that God has. And if it's already been made and I'm just showing up in it, you know, why then do I believe that the success of my future lies solely in my hands when I just woke up to a day that was already predetermined? You know, you do need to take responsibility for yourself, for your actions, for your thoughts, for your belief system. You know, there are things you have to take accountability for, but you also need to understand that you do not have control over everything. You need to understand that you are catching up with fate at every given point of life, and there is no greater form of manifestation work than remaining in alignment with your spirit, because your spirit will always lead you to where you need to be. There is literally nothing that we choose or do that hasn't already been foreseen and taken into account by the divine. We're talking about a force that is Alpha and Omega, omnipotent, that already saw into who you'd be today from the moment your great-great-great-great-great-grandmother was born. Like, we are always walking out and walking into timelines that have always existed. Again, I can't talk today. And, you know, we don't create new timelines. We just choose which to access and materialize through our free will. There are already timelines in place for what your next life will look like if you choose this or that path, if you clear this karma or avoid that karma. You know, your next incarnation depends on the choices you make right now, because every choice leads to a timeline of experiences for your soul that God has already seen. So I guess that's another way to look at the idea of I chose what my life would look like before I was born, because you're technically choosing what your next incarnation will be like right now, based off of how you exercise your free will. So the materialization of a timeline isn't the same as the creation of it. It always existed as a possibility. Our choices just made it real within the third dimension. And it's this action of making things real in 3D that makes us co-creators with God, our ability to bring potentials into physicality. We are not co-creators with God based off of the fact that if we want something, whatever it may be, the law of attraction commands divine forces to jump on board with our ideas and boom, we manifest and create a reality. You know, that's just an illusion and a vain mindset promoted by New Age spirituality that has people literally battling demons and thought forms on a daily basis. Thought forms such as, my manifestation didn't happen because I'm not worthy enough, or my intention came to pass because I am great at manifesting, instead of people saying, my intention came to pass because I came into agreement with what the creator desired for me. You know, so basically thought forms that either inflate the ego or lead to a toxic form of self-blame. So that's it for today's episode. I've covered everything that I wanted to share. I hope that you enjoyed this one. I hope that you received what you needed. I hope that you remember that manifesting from a place of acceptance means manifesting from a place of your victory. I hope that you are blessed abundantly and that you have a beautiful day, a beautiful night, or a beautiful week. Ashe. Thank you for listening, and blessed be.